This is the Next Bite of Life podcast, the place to be to hear personal stories from expats, digital nomads, and everybody else taking their next bite of life. Thank you for joining me on another episode of the Next Bite of Life podcast. My name is Kemke. Today, I've got Leah Thrapp. She's here to talk all about her adventures and life of travel. Her website is called flipflopandadventures.com. So say hello to everyone, Leah.
Hi, everybody. I'm happy to be here. Thanks, Kemke.
Thank you so much for coming on. I know it's really early where you are still, so I'm glad that you were able to squeeze me in between taking care of the baby and the older boy. You know,
yeah,
so I'm glad.
Right now.
So I guess congratulations, first of all, because you've got a new baby, right?
Thank you. Yes, I do. We call her the tiny adventurer.
Oh, the tiny adventurer. That's great. She will soon have all her stamps on the passport and you'll be raring to go pretty soon.
Yeah.
Now, where are you guys right now?
So we're in Texas right now. That's where we live. We live in a suburb of Dallas, and that's where we're based all the time.
Oh, so that's your base, and then you go to different countries and have a little series of adventure, but come back home
right
to take a break from traveling.
Yes. Unpack your suitcase, wash your laundry, and pack it back as often as I can get away with it.
That's great. Now, let me know something. I know your website. Why is it called that?
So it's flip-flops and adventures, plural. And I call it that because I wear flip-flops all the time. They are my most favorite shoe wear, and I will wear them in the snow or hiking or anything. And so it just became a joke that I was adventuring in my flip-flops. And so when I started the blog, that's what I named it.
Wow, that's insane, because I know it gets cold in Dallas, you know. We used to live in Houston. I know it gets cold. There's no way you would find me in flip-flops.
You know? Oh, yeah. Dallas cold, there's no question that I would wear the flip-flops. But I've worn them in Colorado or Ireland and
places
like that too. So.
Oh, wow. So how long have you been travelers and adventurers?
So I have always been a traveler. I think my love of travel started when I was a kid, and I loved to read historical fiction. So I loved reading about, you know, ancient cities like Rome and things like that. And I couldn't wait to go there. And so when I graduated high school, I pretty much only chose jobs that would allow me to travel, or I quit jobs to travel. So I was always doing one or the other. You know, I'd ask for time off and they'd say I couldn't have it. And I'd say, okay, well, here's my notice. I'll get a new job when I get home. And I just worked enough to pay for my trips. And my dad kept telling me, one day you're going to have to be a grown up and not only work enough to pay for your next trip. And I'm like, well, I'm 39 now and I'm still doing it. So I don't know when that grown up is going to kick in.
Now, so it's not something like, you know, I talk to a lot of people and it's like, oh, you know, my father, like for me, my parents were both travelers. I mean, they were always gone. And it was a lot of times my grandma was the one that was there. So you just were a rebel from the beginning, right? It wasn't like your mom was a big traveler, your dad was a big traveler.
No, they both liked to travel, but we weren't able to do it that much. My dad traveled for work, so he was gone, you know, almost every week for at least a couple of days. And my mom liked to travel, and so we did a few trips when I was growing up, but mostly my family was from San Antonio. So most holidays, you know, we were just driving back and forth from Dallas to San Antonio. And my dad was a salesman, so he won some, like, club trips for quotas and things. We went to the Virgin Islands, we went to Jamaica on family vacation, but I was always craving more. I needed to go more places and see more. So when I started working and got a tiny taste, I think actually what really kicked off my love affair with Europe would be when I was 20. I had a family I was a nanny for since I was about 15. And they were both, he was an international pilot and she was an international flight attendant. And the year of September 11th, he got a job to go be stationed in Mallorca, Spain for 6 months.
Nice.
And he said, well, I'm not going to go if my nanny can't go and my kids. And so they said, okay, that's fine. So as soon as the school year ended, I flew by myself with two children to Mallorca, Spain, and it was terrifying. You know, it sounded like a great idea when I agreed to it, but it was only maybe like 3 weeks' notice till we left, and I was like, sure. And then when I tried to go, I was like, what was I thinking? Like, who is sending me across the world with two children? You know, he was already there working, and so then we were in Mallorca for that whole summer, and he was gone. He was a pilot, so he was gone a lot, and so it was a big adventure, and I think it definitely taught me that I'm braver and stronger than you think you are when you're 20. Because so many things you have to do. You know, one time one of the kids needed some medicine, and you had to go to the pharmacy and figure out how to talk to them in Spanish and get the thing you need. And, you know, you realize like I'm resourceful and I'm brave. Yeah. And I think that's a really great experience to have as a young woman.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, and it was probably better that you only had just a little bit of advance notice.
Right.
You might have had to think about it for so long and refused to do it after a while. Exactly.
Would have backed out if you gave me the chance. The day before, if you give me the chance, I might not have gone. But I was stuck with it then. And so I think that was a really powerful experience to realize, like, that at 20, I can do it. And it was an experience that many people that I knew had.
Yeah.
So I always say that was the time that ruined my chance of ever being a real grown up.
Ah, because that was like, I've had a taste now. I'm not going back to the way it was.
Exactly.
So what influence did that have on your next job, for instance? Like, I know you used to be a travel agent. Did that affect you? Did that make you want to go into something travel related?
Yeah, I was already doing a job. I was actually a makeup artist. When I turned 19, that's the job I started doing. And it really became a makeup artist. I grew up doing musical theater. And so I had knowledge of makeup, but I am not a huge makeup wearer. And so I had a friend who I went to get my makeup done for special events, you know, like prom or, you know, whatever, special events. And he kept getting promoted at the makeup company. And all of a sudden he was going to Hawaii and coming back with a tan. And I was like, hold on.
You mean you don't need like makeup
you to go to Hawaii and put lipstick on people? Like, sign me up for that job. How do I get that? So when I graduated from high school, I went to work for that company and worked really hard to become a national artist and be able to travel with them. And so, you know, being 19 or 20 years old and traveling every week to new big cities in America and, you know, getting to explore and try new foods and get paid at the same time was just like a dream. And so I did that for several years until, you know, I never dated or did anything, didn't have any relationships at home because I was gone all the time.
Yeah.
So eventually I decided to, start staying home and doing bridal makeup on the weekends. And then I started doing travel agency during the week because weddings were, you know, pretty much just on Saturday. And so I became a travel agent so that I could learn more and get some perks. And I did that for 10 years until I started my new company, Flip Flops and Adventures.
I see. So now, how long have you been doing Flip-Flop and Adventures?
So I started Flip-Flops and Adventures in about 2015 when my son was two, because we were traveling a lot with my husband's job. He was in international IT, and so he had offices in a bunch of different countries in Europe and in Australia. And we would go with him when he would be working. And my son, who we call the little adventurer, and I would just go exploring every day while he was working. And then, you know, on the weekends, we would do little weekend trips together in the areas that we were. And we would try to add on some vacation time when we could, you know, stay an extra week or two and explore somewhere close to where we were. Mm-hmm. And people were just fascinated with how we were doing this with the 2-year-old, you know, like what kind of stroller do you have? And how do you pack for that? And you're gone for a month. And so I started it as a travel blog.
Yeah.
And I was just, you know, sharing what it was like to travel with a little kid and, you know, how it worked and what we did on those days. And, it was interesting because at the same time I was working as a travel agent and I was booking trips, you know, just normal vacations, like all-inclusives in Mexico and the Caribbean, which I would never complain about a trip to any of those places. But when I choose a vacation, that wasn't what I was choosing. Yeah. So gradually, all of my clients that were following me on social media started saying, well, I see you're at a farm in Tuscany. How can I go on that trip? And as a travel agent, there's not really there's kind of a weird gap where there's these cool experiences you can have when you want to get off the beaten path. But if you're not comfortable enough to do it on your own, there's not really a good way to book it for somebody. So there's big bus tours where, you know, you're with 60 people and you're packed
with the umbrella.
Exactly. With your leader with the umbrella and the scarf. And so there's that. Or it's like, do it by yourself. and drive yourself and figure it out. And there's not very much in between. And so when my clients would ask me, I would say, I don't know how to give that experience to you. And I don't want it to be an unpleasant experience by me sending you for something that you're not prepared or comfortable, you know, to deal with. Mm-hmm. And so one day I just, inspiration struck, and I said, well, what if I just take them and show them my favorite places? You know, what if I just show you that tiny gelato shop in San Gimignano that's the world's most award-winning gelato shop? But
oh, I've been there. That was awesome. Yes.
Yes. I go there as much as I can.
Oh my God. I absolutely loved San Gimignano.
Oh, me too.
You know, I was like, I remember the first time we had gone there, somebody's like, oh, go to Siena instead. I'm like, you know what? I really want to go to San Gimignano. And we took, you know, we had friends visiting from Houston at that point, and we met up with them in Rome, and then we took the train down and it was wonderful. So I can, anybody listening, you really have to try that gelato place.
It's
absolutely. And I remember we had wild boar, and that was just,
so good. The food in San Gimignano was just like, unlike anywhere else in the world, for sure.
So basically, when somebody books an adventure with you, you actually go with them from the U.S. to wherever you're going, right?
I do. So I take small groups. So I usually max it out at about 16 clients.
Okay.
And I'm just trying to hit a balance between that big bus tour and being on your own.
Exactly.
So I take people and I curate all the details, and I make sure that you get to do all the things you shouldn't miss. But I also leave a lot of open free time. So that maybe, you know, we go to San Gimignano and I walk in with you and say, okay, here's the gelato shop. There's one across the way that says they're it, but this is the real one. Mm-hmm. Make sure you stand in this line and eat gelato. And now, you know, I'll tell you that this restaurant has a really great view. This one has great cingale, you know, pasta or whatever. And then I say, meet me back in 3 or 4 hours and we'll go back. And so if you want to go have a romantic dinner with your partner, you can. If you just want to climb the walls and take a million pictures, you can. Or eat gelato all day and drink wine. You have the choice. So you don't feel like everybody's just tapping their toe waiting on you when you go into a shop for, you know, something to take home. You just can have that time to yourself. But also the comfort of knowing that someone that knows, you know, knows can advise
somebody's
you on
got
the
your back.
And that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's great because, you know, it's true what you say. Unless you're adventurous enough to like go out and do it yourself, it's very intimidating, especially when you don't speak the language.
Right.
You know you want to do this, but it's by you. How do you find your way to, I mean, really, because we were so cheap. We didn't want to like pay for, my friends were like, we'll pay for the cab. I'm like, no, we're going to freaking take the bus. So, so Fede is like, you know, but my husband is Italian. So he speaks Italian. So it was a lot easier to go with him and, you know, have somebody there who knows what they're talking about and can show you places. So it's sort of great because I was going to ask you, what makes it unique? Like what differs, what makes you different from everybody else? Because, you know, it's a very crowded industry.
Right.
But yeah, finding that sweet spot is great. And I can understand why people would love to do that. I think it sounds wonderful.
Yeah, I think it's good. I have kind of two sets of clients that it appeals to. One set of clients are the ones who've just never done it before and they're intimidated.
Yes.
Like you said, you know, they don't speak the language. Maybe they've never even been to Europe before. So the whole thing with trains and everything is just super, you know, overwhelming for them. And then I have another set of clients, which I've been pleasantly surprised to have joining my trips, which is really well-traveled people who love these kinds of trips. And they've just chosen to trust me to do the work. So they are able to plan an off the beaten track, and they typically would do that anyways, but they enjoy just coming along for the ride and not having to do the massive amount of research and planning and coordination that it takes to do these kinds of trips.
And I think also, especially like in small group tours, it's like you're fine doing it with your partner, but sometimes you want to be with other travelers and have conversations without feeling like you're intruding on people's spaces when you go out to eat. So it's kind of nice. Everybody has a shared experience and you actually make friends, you know?
Oh, yeah. My clients definitely have made friends. And when I release a new tour, you know, they're texting each other. Some of them have a contest to see who got their deposit in first. They text, did I get my credit card to you before so-and-so? Or
oh, you know, that is awesome.
And they joke around about, you know, know, like somebody says they're not going and then on the last day they'll change their mind and grab the last spot because they can't stand that their friends are going in and they before Italy or Scotland without them. And
so it's hilarious. Well, that's funny. That's funny. Now I know like during the tour, you just don't do, you know, seeing the places and finding the restaurants and everything. You also do cooking classes, wine tasting. Is that part of it?
Yes, we do. So I just try to help you. When I personally travel, I just want to make sure that I am experiencing it the way that the Italians do things or the way that the Scottish do things. And so I'm not just, you know, going to take the picture by the Tower of Pisa. I want to know, like, what do people eat here? Yeah. And, you know, what's the things that are important to them that makes them who they are and their culture. Mm-hmm. And so that's one thing that's really important to me. And so I feel like food is so much the heart of most cultures. It tells you so much about the people and their values. So I feel that the food and the drink is super important. So we do a lot of, you know, cooking classes or wine tastings or distillery tours. And like when we were in Scotland, my favorite distillery tour I have booked is the smallest distillery in all of Scotland. Smallest family owned one, you know, so it's that kind of thing that I'm looking for. And when we're in Tuscany, we stay at an agriturismo, so a working Italian.
Oh, love,
And we're staying there, and everything that you eat, they grew. You know, the olive, for the olive oil, the wheat for the pasta, the meat is all from their farm. The wine, and so I feel like that's just like if you're going to get real authentic Tuscany, that's the way you do it. And the same thing with Scotland. If you're going to get to know Scotland, I feel like you've got to, you know, experience the things that are really part of their everyday life and things that they value. And so, but then also, you know, I try to mix in, I love wildlife and things like that. So when we're in Ireland, we stayed at a castle and we had high tea at one of the world's most best hotels. And then we met the falconer in the garden and he brought us all of his birds and we got to learn how they trained them and how they, you know, rescued some of them and how they were rehabilitating them. And all of us got to have a falcon, you know, fly to our hand from the trees and things like that. So I really want to make those memories that you'll never forget when you're on a trip.
And they're certainly different from everybody else because usually, you know, it's like, yeah, we went to Tuscany and we had a wine tasting and we had food and that's it. And we took a picture, you know, here and we took a picture there. So it's nice to have something different and you get a real taste for the place. And it just sounds very, very good. I love it. Does it ever happen where somebody says, okay, Leah, I know we haven't gone to Hungary, for instance, or something. And they say, would you consider doing that? Now, would you go out and find them a tour that you can take them on? Or do you have like just the spots that you do right now?
That definitely happened. So those regular clients that I mentioned that have gone on multiple trips, they definitely text me when they see something on Facebook or in a magazine. They're like, hey, you know, have you thought about this? And so we had, for one example, a bunch of them asked me about Oktoberfest. And I was like, I don't know, guys, that's really not my jam.
With two kids in tow.
I don't think I want to like keep track of 20 people in Oktoberfest. People in the country. Like, I just don't know if that's my thing. And they're like, okay, we get that. And so then a few weeks later, one of them sent me a text and he's like, what about this? And it was a link to a small beer festival. It's much more local beer festival and it's a strong beer that happened in the spring. And I was like, okay, see, now this happens in the small towns. Like, this is more what I can do. So I actually was supposed to be doing it this coming spring. It's having to get pushed back because of all of the cancellations and rescheduling that's happening. Mm-hmm. But we were going to do a week in Germany and do castles and the beer festival and all the cute old towns, you know, with the storybook houses and the Black Forest and all that. So that definitely came from client request. And we have some other things. And I tell my clients all the time, I have endless ideas of ways to fill your vacation time. So you just let me know how much vacation time and how vacation budget you have. And I have amazing places that we can go for all of it.
Oh, that sounds awesome. Because really, there's nothing. I mean, I love planning things for us to do. And I'm the planner. I'm like, he just shows up. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's nice, like you say, to just have somebody take care of it. And you just show up, have a good time, have great memories and be done with it. And that's just, you know, and then you can go back and tell somebody else about it. And word of mouth is insane. If people like what you do, like you say, they come back and tell others and make sure that, you know, it's an experience that everybody wants to be part of, because it's really different than what they get everywhere else.
Right. That's what I'm hoping for.
Now, how did, you know, we all know COVID-19 and the coronavirus and the pandemic, how did it affect your business?
It's been rough. This is really, really tough. You know, I had a baby in October, so that was a surprise. So I'd actually had to reschedule those trips. I had just started to release the trips that I was booking for October when I found out I was pregnant a couple weeks later. So then I had to say, just kidding, guys, we're actually going next year. And so I moved the tours to this April, the one that just passed. Yeah. And I went into the year 2020 with all of my tours on the books sold out on my second year of business. So I thought that things were going awesome, like better than I ever could have dreamed to start the year with every tour sold out on my second year. Exactly. And then COVID-19 happened. So we were supposed to leave on March 30th and be in Europe for a month. Mm-hmm. So March 30th to April 30th was my booked trip. And I had two sold out tours during that time. One was a couple's tour to Venice and Tuscany. And then I had a girl's trip that was Florence and Tuscany. And in between trips, I was going to be scouting for my trips for 2021. So I had a week planned in Sardinia to go scout hotels. And then I had a week planned in Germany to go check out some of the breweries and the castles and stuff that we were going to go to, take promotional photos and videos and like show everybody where we were going to go. Mm-hmm. And so all of that got canceled. And I moved the sold out tours to October of this year. And I already had in October booked a Scotland trip and an art tour. I was partnering with a company called Color Hype, and we are doing art-inspired tours where we're going to create actual art while we're on the trips.
Nice.
And so now I'm in the process of moving all four trips to 2021.
Yeah.
So it's really frustrating.
I mean, it's just been devastating. When this first happened, I remember like the beginning of March, I was one of the people that was really sitting. I'm like, this is going to pass soon. Yeah. You know, we'll still be able to travel. And we actually left Spain and we went to Italy. And even while it was still kind of like increasing in China, they started having it pop up. I'm like, you know what? We're in Sicily. We don't have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. And then we started hearing this and that. And I said, you know, if anything really bad happens, we'll make our way up to Rome and stay with his mom for a couple of weeks while it blows over. Yeah. But then when it seemed like it was by time, we're like, okay, we need to get the hell out of Dodge. We couldn't get any flights. Spain has shut down. We had to go through Marseille to get back into Spain. So I'm like, oh my God. And now to see it months later and we're still here and it doesn't look like it's going to get any better. It's so hard to make plans, you know, for the future, right?
It's so hard. I said yesterday, I've never wished for a crystal ball more than I have the last couple
of years. See, the next time you run by a tarot lady, you're going to be like...
Right? I'm going to get one next time I see one. Yeah, it's so crazy because, you know, I thought when I moved, you know, I moved the April trips and I thought, oh, it'll be fine in October. That's, you know, months from now, it'll be fine. I never imagined that I would be rescheduling all of my tours from all of 2020 into 2021. And even now I'm trying to reschedule them and I'm having a hard time deciding. Like I have some dates on hold in March and it's like, is it going to be okay in March? That's one whole year of the borders being closed. Surely the border is going to be open by March. But, you know, what do we know? Because obviously I didn't know when I rescheduled it the first and second time. So
I know.
I don't even know. It's crazy. And I feel sick to my stomach when I you know, get on my Facebook and see how many of my colleagues are furloughed or closing their business, you know, with everybody shutting down. There's just so many jobs that depend on tourism. So it makes me
This afternoon, going into the city of Valencia, going, checking out the restaurants, every place is closed. And apart from the siesta, there's just this like, it's almost like everybody's given up, like, because you don't know, like you say, that you don't know what's coming. You don't know when it's going to be over. So we're just stuck in some sort of limbo, you know?
Right. And I think that's, to me, one of the hardest part mentally is just the unknown, you know, looming, just endless looming of how long is this going to go for? And, you know, if you had an end date, you could, you know, work towards it. But I know it's really hard for the small businesses that are just like, how long do we hang on for? Yeah. How long do we have to be, you know?
At least hopefully for you, you know, the people that book the trips will still be there when it comes back. Hopefully they've all got jobs and, you know, they're willing to like wait, because it's not something that, it's not up to you. It's just, you know, you're just doing the waiting game just like everybody else. And it's so hard now with so many countries closing the borders. Like in Spain, you got to quarantine and this. And it's like, it changes every other day. So it's not like you can make any solid plans. You can't even, like you say, you can't even move it back to March, for instance, because who knows? And you don't want to lose like a lot of deposits, a lot of everything, because it's time is money, right?
Yeah, exactly. Wow. It's been really tough for sure. It's discouraging too, you know. Yeah. And it's hard for people like you and I who have a passion for it and they love it. Because that's really what drives me. And so it's just been really just depressing to not be able to go anywhere or do any of the things, you know.
Now, has it been, I know you had mentioned earlier that, you know, everybody said you weren't going to be able to travel as much with kids. How has it been? Did you find that it's a huge leap, like traveling with just you and your husband or traveling with the kids? Like, how do you manage that?
Honestly, we have traveled more since we had our first child than we did before. So we always traveled, you know, I made sure to marry somebody that knew how important travel was and also valued travel. And so we always made travel a priority in our lives and make lots of choices to make sure that we are able to travel. And then, like you mentioned, when we had a child, everybody said, your traveling days are over. We said, no, they're not. You know what? Yeah. He's joining our family. This is our family and he's coming into it. And this is part of our family's value that we think it's important. And so we just always traveled with him. And I think that's really the advice that I give to people is like, don't stop traveling, because it's a lot harder if you just randomly decide to go on a 17-hour plane ride and they've never had to sit there before. Well, of course that's not going to go well, but I said when he was little, he didn't know that other children didn't have to sit in their plane seat for 8 hours. Like he didn't know that was a thing that other kids didn't do. So it was just normal to him. And he did it, you know, his first plane ride was to Hawaii. It was, you know, 10 hours when he was 4 months old. And so as far as he could remember, that's just part of life. He just got on the plane and went on a tour. He was fine. And kids are so flexible. They're more flexible than grown-ups, you know? So he just went along with it. He did time changes. He slept on planes and trains and boats. And, you know, he loves it now. So he is really struggling too with the staying home. He's like, when are we going on an adventure? I want to go on an airplane, you know? And so he's been great. And I think traveling with your children is something actually super special, because they see things in such a different way than you do. And so experiencing it with your kid is really fun to see the things that they notice and the things that they remember and experience are so different than, you know, the adult perspective. So for example, his favorite thing in Ireland, there is this little village in Ireland that we love to stay in called Malahide. It's outside of Dublin. It has its own castle. It's just like the perfect side Irish village, like the way that you imagine Ireland.
Imagine a kid, you know? How could you not love that?
Right. And he loves it. And the castle has this huge lawn with like, there's a little cafe. You can have picnics, but his favorite thing is that there's a huge playground at the castle grounds and there's a zip line.
Oh,
so if you ask him about Ireland, he loves the zip line, which is hilarious.
Because it's like, look, you have your priority.
Exactly. He's done all kinds of amazing, you know, he's fed falcons. He's done all these crazy things in Ireland. But he loves the zip line on the playground. Great. So it's so fun that when you talk to him and people, you know, you get home for a trip and everybody's like, what was your favorite thing that you saw? And he's like, well, there's this playground, you know, so funny.
But... Yeah. I mean, it's like, that's what he cares about. So yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, you'll have all the pictures for him for when he grows up. Oh yeah. See it. And I bet the new baby is going to be just as excited about traveling.
I think she will. And she'll have her brother to help hold her hand and show her the way to find fun. And I think that's the thing that's really important with traveling with kids is like, we don't do kid vacations, you know, in quotes. We've never been to Disney World or done those things with them. Mm-hmm. But they have a blast. Like he has an amazing time. Even when he's on, people say, oh, my kid wouldn't go through a castle tour of like an ancient castle. And it's like, he's having a great time. He thinks the fact that the handle for the staircase banister is a rope, he thinks that is super funny. And so he finds his own entertainment and he's content and happy because we just make it that way. That's just what we're doing. So I think it's so important for people to realize you don't have to do kid things on a trip to make amazing memories as a family.
That's really amazing. And I just love that the fact that you've been able to weave this in seamlessly into your life so that, you know, the kids get something out of it, you get something out of it, and the whole family has fun.
It is really fun.
Amazing.
And we miss it.
I'm sorry. I hope things get better soon. I really do, because I think it's time. Everybody wants to like get to the next stop, whatever that is. And we need to figure out a way to make it work. But I don't see it getting better anytime soon, but I hope. We can always hope, but I don't see it. I just certainly hope you can hang in there, because I think your tours are very special, and it's something that, you know, people that have the means should do, because it sounds fantastic. Like, you know, it gives you not quite off the beaten path, but off it enough to like make it very special and unique. Right.
Well, thank you. Coming from a fellow traveler, I appreciate that feedback.
Oh, trust me. You know, everybody knows that I just say what I feel, period. I don't like sugarcoat it. I don't know how to, but that's pretty much it. You know? But tell us again what the name of the company is, how they can get in touch with you. And for anybody listening, there's also going to be the usual blog post with this, where we'll have all the information on how you can get in touch with Leah. So please tell us again what the website is.
So it's flipflopsandadventures.com. Both words are plural, flipflops and adventures. And then I have an Instagram. My handle is flipflops and adventures, and Facebook, flipflops and adventures.
So you can get in touch with her and see if... So now, one last question I should have asked you. Now, on the tours, is it just couples, or can they bring their own kids? Do you have your kids when you go?
I do have my kids. Pretty much every time that we go, there's a couple exceptions. I usually bring a babysitter or a grandma or somebody to come and help with the kids while I work, but the kids are there. And so I don't usually tell people not to bring their kids. I just let it be up to them. But they're not kid trips, you know, we're just doing the things we would normally do. But I do try to do one really family-friendly trip a year. So last year, the Ireland trip was... had a little bit more fun stuff for the kids. Like, we went to Skellig Island from Star Wars, and we stayed in a, you know, castle that was, had some fun stuff for the kids. But I try to make them open to anybody and whoever wants to come. So they tend to kind of group ways. Like, the Venice trip ended up being mostly couples and a couple of sisters and things, but I try to keep them pretty open. But I also am open with everybody that's signing up for what the crowd looks like, you know. Exactly. So if somebody says, I don't want to be around a bunch of kids, then, you know, I'll say, well, maybe you should pick this week instead of this week, or things like that.
That makes sense. Well, thank you so much for talking to me today. It's been wonderful. I just enjoyed myself so much, and it's fun finding out about your company and your new ventures. And I hope that things turn around pretty soon.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really fun to chat with you.
Thanks. Anybody listening to this, once again, I said we're going to have it on the blog post, so you can get in touch with Leah and see if one of her trips will suit you. So thanks again for listening to the show, and we'll see you on the next one. Don't forget to subscribe. Bye.